You think, what are people going to do? They're going to get in line. They're going to say, yeah, give me my iPhone, my Facebook, and my porn, and leave me the fuck alone. And they'll the fucking jab, fuck yeah, give me $100 all alone. You can stick the jab up my ass.
Welcome back to Grand America Outlawed. We are going to be chatting with Robert Bonomo this week, a guest that in the past tended to find himself in the regular Grand America show feed, but even his work and his films have found themselves in the cancel side of culture these days. So here he is on Outlawed, where he gets into the Coca-Colas and gets it ramped up for the second half. Yeah. That's a secret to Mr. Bonomo. If you want to get the juicy stuff, get him a bottle of Coca-Cola.
And did we stream
this?
This
is not
on
a native ad for Coca-Cola.
On Rockfin?
Shit's poison. We did.
Yeah.
I don't know how there was so many technical difficulties and delays. I don't know how people trudged through it, but they did.
Yeah.
And we love them for it.
But usually it goes smoother than that, and we have better internet, and that's where we're streaming this stuff.
I'm blaming
now, right?
Africa.
Yeah.
I'm blaming the Tunisian or whatever it is internet. I mean,
Tunis?
Tunisia, isn't it?
Well, he said Tunis, but it's Tunisia. I don't know what the actual proper way to say it is.
Tunisia. I don't know either.
So anyways, we are streaming at Rockfin, right? So, because YouTube, there is no outlawed YouTube anymore, right?
No, it's striked out.
We've gone to Rockfin.
Technically, we have one strike left.
But you just, why wait? Why wait? Yeah. So
They've said no to all my appeals. So we went to Rockfin with it, and even all the controversial Grand America stuff, just because we had to do something with it. Because YouTube is, I mean, we're in a chat with a bunch of other creators, and people are in there constantly with YouTube strikes or channels getting taken down all over the place. So we just did a complete purge of the YouTube channel. We're keeping it just, I guess, PG for lack of a better word over there, so we can keep going live and using that for whatever we can, I guess, for the time being. But Rockfin is where we stream these Outlawed episodes, and Rockfin has been great to us. So head over to rockfin.com/America if you want to catch the live streams of the first hour of the Outlawed episodes. That's where you catch them. They're free too, by the way. There is some premium content you can catch over at Rockfin as well, all sorts of it. You can peruse it while you're there, but head over there. We stream these on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. If you want to catch
Tuesdays
them
or Wednesdays, basically.
Yeah, there's a live chat there too, so you can get some questions in. I mean, that's really the bonus, I guess, of listening live is that there's a chat function that you could maybe spit in a question or two.
And exactly.
Yeah. Might catch it. So, anything else?
That's about it.
Swag?
Yeah.
America.ca/swag if you want to get any Grand America Outlawed gear, or if you want to get some cool stickers and stuff, or protest tees.
Send me emails, follow up.
Yeah, grandmacroamerica.com. There's some cool like 9/11 tees and COVID-19. The COVID-1984 shirt is sharp.
Wow.
I like the one with the red one with the rectangle.
Yeah, cool.
It's sharp. Yeah. That's about it. Enjoy the chat.
So this is Robert Bonomo, right? So just for you that don't know, he's a filmmaker, a blogger, a novelist, an esotericist. Did the internet work?
On that computer?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I'm just, my computer's broken, so Darren's asking. I'm on a little tablet thing. It's kind of a mess, but.
It's a waste of money.
The computer will be fixed. It's hard to go without it, man.
Tuesday. It'll be here Tuesday.
So anyways, he's worked and lived all over the world. He's got some novels, Twilight Breakout, Cactus Land, and his latest release, Your Love Incomplete. And we had him on our old show, the Grand America Show, for the Major Arcana of the Tarot. And that was a documentary he made called The 21 Faces of God, which was really interesting. And this year, in 2021, he just released a documentary on materialism, consciousness, and money called Twilight of the Archons. There's a link to his site in the show notes. He's a great guest. He's been on lots of podcasts, and he really let her rip in this one. So it's good to have him back.
Absolutely. We love Robert. We love you for listening. Enjoy the chat. Robert Bonomo.
All right. We've got Robert Bonomo back with us. In Grey America, he's a filmmaker, an esotericist, a novelist. His latest film was Twilight of the Archons. Also want to talk about one of his blogs, which was quite funny. I think it was called Orange and Clockwork, something like that. Welcome back, Robert.
Hey, it's good to be back, guys. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. We're going to try and work through this delay. So we'll have to leave a bit of a space here just so we don't talk over each other. And let's start with just why you went into making the Twilight of the Archons after your awesome The 21 Faces of God, where you talked about the major arcana of the tarot.
Yeah, I wanted to make something bigger, broader. And as I got into a lot of the spiritual stuff in The 21 Faces of God, I got really focused on consciousness. I kind of realized that's the key. It's interesting. I didn't really see it coming. But then I wanted, so this film, I wanted to make this sort of big kind of social film, became more focused on consciousness. But I still wanted to put in the social part. So that's why I combined, I guess the film has two main themes. One is consciousness and the other is money, of all things. And just to see how we look at money, we think it's one thing, but it really isn't. And how we think of awareness or consciousness, we think it's one thing, but maybe it's not. So I try to connect the two.
Yeah, that's interesting. I used to think that money and the banking and all that, like, let's say, kind of like after the whole Zeitgeist movie came out and the whole monetary thing, I used to think that's the main problem here. And then I kind of shifted towards more of the war on consciousness and this materialistic aspect with the people, you know, that are running the show, that are sort of forcing materialism down our throat, that don't believe it themselves. I mean, the elite and the secret societies believe in the esoteric and a spiritual world run by who knows what. And here we are kind of just stuck in this materialistic paradigm. So I think consciousness does play a role. And the timing of your movie was great, because I was just having an argument with some friends over the dark spiritual aspect of what's happening, you know?
Yeah. It was weird because I was hoping to get this film out in the fall, but the coronavirus threw me for a loop. And then we had this kind of wild summer. So I had to really start the whole thing over again. I mean, I've been working on this for like 2 years, and I didn't even know if I would finish it. But then, you know, I kind of got my bearings back in the fall, and I'm actually glad that it came out now and not in November, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Did that play a role, the whole lockdown, the whole coronavirus, did that play a role in how you portrayed this?
You know what? In the end, it really didn't. But I had to wait and see. You know, I had to let it settle in. I was like, all right, what is actually going on? Has anything really changed? And it hasn't. You know, I guess you see, if you look at the beginning of the film, in that first intro with Gimme Shelter, I show Kennedy, then I show Building 7, and then I show sign of kind of the Corona thing, no? Yep. And it's just another story. It really, you know what I mean? Nothing has changed, I don't think.
I don't know. I mean, it's reached a new level. I mean, we're going through the slow car crash now of 9/11, you know, 9/11 height style of thing. But I mean, right now it's They're not backing off this whole vaccination thing. So I feel like this is a whole other level of propaganda.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, it's definitely accelerated. That's for sure. But like, take, for example, the 5G thing. I mean, you got a lot of people with a 4G phone stuck to their head 18 hours a day screaming about 5G. You know what I mean? It's like, all right. I mean, I hear you, and I'm not bashing them. I don't really know that much about it. But, I mean, how far have we gotten? I mean, how down the hole are we? I mean, we're 90% to the cave already. So, you know, I think, like you say, this is kind of like one of the last nails in the coffin. But we've been going down this path now for a long time.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, that's a fair enough point. I do feel like it's the new, I mean, we had this guy on recently on our other show, and he was talking about the cycles. Was it the, now we're in Aquarius and there's going to be a new religion. Like each cycle has had its religion that's been dominant, and this one's going to be scientism. And I mean, this is what we're being sort of forced to worship, is this god of science that's going to save us, you know? Our own immune system is not good enough for this. We need the jab.
Yeah. And it's not just, it's everything. I think what it really is it's the acceleration. And you know what? The people our age, because you guys are around the 50s, right? Getting there close.
I'm 50. Darren's like early 40s. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm 53. I think we're seeing the acceleration more. We're like, wow, from the time when we were kids till today. But, you know, I teach at a university and I look at these kids. Yeah. For them, it's nothing's changing. You know, we got to wear a mask.
Yeah, that's another good point. Yeah, I guess it is perspective, you know, but. So what about, you know, you mentioned in there that we are the Archons. I mean, maybe you should expand on that a little bit. Like, I hope that you're not saying that there's no dark force to blame.
How much do you hope I'm not saying that?
Just a bit. I'm all out of hopium, really. So,
in the end, I mean, you're like Obama, man. You're all hope. I mean, honestly, the older I get, the more I think all the Archons are in our head. If we experience reality entirely through our own perception, no one can enter that. Only we can. And so all of these stories that we believe or decide not to believe, that's up to us. They can tell you many tales. How many of them you believe in is entirely up to you. I mean, I'll give you an example. In the film, I talk about money. Money is the one story we all believe. There is no one on this planet that doesn't believe a briefcase full of cash. But in the end, it's just a story, right? So, yeah, you could say that there are evil forces out there. But if you don't believe their stories, are they really evil forces? I'm not so sure.
Is it more like in that regard, it seems like it's more like a yin and a yang, because it is. I haven't seen the film, full disclosure, but it seems more like the yin and the yang, where it's sort of the way I look at heaven and hell, as well as being more like this metaphor for the current more than the after. Is, you know, if you do certain things or carry yourself in a certain manner, they might have these unforeseen consequences down the road, that your existence can seem hellish, or, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really difficult question to grapple with, because let's take any of the most wild conspiracies or ideas of the Archons that are out there. So we go, I give you the magic wand, God help us, I give you the magic wand and I say, change it all, make it all perfect. Put them all in jail, put perfect people into Congress and change the banking system, get rid of all the vaccines, we throw away the phones, and then what?
Freedom.
You know, I mean, when you think about it that way, okay, you've done everything. Are you really going to feel any better?
Well, I don't agree that it's all in our head. I mean, we've had, like, my perception on this changes over time, but I mean, I have loved ones that have had decades worth of shadow demon sort of attacks, almost incubus. Like, I think in the past it was incubus. Maybe it was giants even before that. And now it's aliens for some people. But, you know, females have been inseminated in their sleep by dark forces of one sort or another for thousands of years. So I don't think they have a choice in that. They don't have a conscious choice for sure. And I don't think they necessarily have a subconscious choice. I don't even think we have free will right now with that. I mean, how do people stop these attacks? And it's whether it's like demonic possession or, so, you know, yeah, we can perceive that. Okay. Like, even in the camp that they take me to, because I won't take their, RNA-changing jab, I can be in the moment and have some peace and quiet in this camp of being a slave. But that could be coming. Like, and that's not my perception. That's, like, happening right now in front of us. And then there's the people dealing with the real darkness out there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, in that sense, I'm not denying that. I'm not denying reality, that there are bad things happening to a lot of people and happening in our world. But have they happened to you?
No.
We can believe that, I mean, demons have been impregnating women. You know, maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But I mean, you have to admit, there's a leap of faith. And is that story serving you well? Is it really working for you? That's what I would say. Because, you know, I mean, I can come up with beautiful mathematical stories from physics that explain all sorts of crazy shit. But in the end, it's just a way of interpreting what we perceive. That's all it is. It's an interpretation. What I want is the real thing, man. I want something so real, I have absolutely no doubts. And you know, impregnating women, demons impregnating women, I'm always going to have a doubt. I mean, maybe it's true, but you know what I mean? It's not something I've experienced. So I want something that real. I mean, that's like, you know, when you talk to Miguel, for example, about Gnosticism, Gnosis is knowing. It's not believing somebody else's story or somebody else's spiritual experience or someone else's interpretation of the world. It's what you experience here and now. That's what I want. And that's what the film's about, in a sense. So I guess what I tried to say in the film is, in the end, most of the archons, the demons, I'd say 99% of them are inside of us. Are there demons out there? Absolutely. Are there evil people out there? No doubt. But most of those demons, I think we can fight ourselves in us, most of them.
And we do that by just being cognizant of where we're spending our attention and things like this?
Absolutely. Where we put our attention, where we put our focus, where we put our minds. I mean, a question that happens, I think, as we get older too, is there happiness out there? I mean, if you go out into the world and we found all the demons and we threw them into the back, sent them back to hell, and we got $1 million and we got 10 hot girls and a kilo of Coke and whatever people want, Porsches and you name it. So you get the whole deal.
Well, that would be pleasurable. I don't know about long-term happiness.
But you know what I'm saying? And I'm not sure it's out there. I think you got to turn the focus in. And when you turn that camera in, then I think that's where the peace is, and that's where the true happiness is. That's just my experience. That's been my experience.
Well, I'm not sure you even have to turn it in so much as you just need to, like, you need to turn it down in the sense of it being like some sort of receiver or something like that. That's where the phone's a good sort of metaphor for this fucking device that just transmits all this terrible shit into your life. And not all terrible shit. I get pictures of my kids on here, and I get texts from my kids, and I get texts from people I love, and that's great. But at the same time, it's loaded with all this terrible shit. It's like this Pandora's box, in a way, that before this, it was the television streaming into your house. And I would argue that you probably can find happiness within, but in my experience, happiness is mostly felt with other people, with people you love, with hanging out with your kids, but those times are the happiest when your fucking phone's put away and the television's off and maybe you're out in the bush going on a hike or you're out hunting or.
Well, I mean, he gets into that in there. He talks about Bernays and the whole, like, their manufacturing, their engineering of consent, right? They're forcing us to.
Well, even without that, it's at best a distraction from happiness. From real happy.
Exactly. And being, like you said, being with your family and being in a peaceful situation, you know, in the end, that peace comes from you. No, I mean, you feel that peace in you, in an environment that's peaceful, around people that you love, that you trust, and that have similar values. But how can you find that when, I mean, Jesus, man, if I see one more person, if I go to one more bar or cafe and I see 10 people sitting there swiping that phone, that is just nonsense going to their brain. I mean, television definitely could do it, but this is exponential television. This is this is TV cubed or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I do agree with you to a certain extent, but it's just like the UFO mystery over the last decade. I mean, I would always argue that you can't ignore the thousands and thousands of people that have sightings. Like, they were still denying the reality of UFOs. Academia wouldn't investigate it. The media wouldn't treat it seriously. You know, the scientific community wouldn't even touch it with a 10-foot pole. The government was denying all of it. And yet it was thousands and thousands and thousands of people, credible people, having sightings. And that's the same thing for me with this darkness, with what people are experiencing from let's keep using demons if you want, but it could be whatever, a shadow man or an alien abduction or whatever it is. It's happening to too many people to ignore, like just to say that, hey, it's not happening to me, so it doesn't exist. Like, to me, it exists because now we're connected with so many people. I believe that there's that many people that are not all making this up.
I'm not saying there aren't. Look, the UFO story, I believe 100%. And like you say, like Jack Vaillé said in one interview, there is just too much data out there to deny this. You can't deny it. I had a sighting once, and it was really powerful. And I looked all through the military books and stuff. What I saw was something absolutely different. I totally accept that. But my experience with the UFO was actually really positive. It kind of opened up something for me, like almost like a different dimension.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't mean like I saw a different dimension, but I was like, wow, there's stuff out there that didn't fit into my old paradigm. And it just kind of broke that old paradigm. So for me, it was really important. So yeah, I don't deny that stuff at all. Not at all.
Yeah, no. The same thing happened to me in a UFO. I'm not, the exact same thing, like opened me up to all kinds of stuff. And this was like, now it's 31 years ago, I guess. But my point was just using it as an example of the plethora of evidence, not proof, but evidence. That's all. I was just using it as an example for that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But the key here is what is that UFO story? And it's really a myth in a sense. What is it telling us? What's the truth in the myth? And because, you know, the thing about UFO stories that most people don't like to go into is, what about the UFO that comes down and makes pancakes for people? You know that famous story, the UFO came and made pancakes? And if you look into the UFO literature, a lot of the people in the UFOs like to get rid of those weird stuff. Remember McKenna, when McKenna's famous UFO story where he saw the Hoover vacuum thing on the UFO. You know, what the hell was that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. It's somewhat based on perception too. And I think the question you're asking, the answer is that it's not what it seems. Like, the world, this paradigm, it's not what it seems is to me, the answer. That's what it means.
Amen. Absolutely. That's the key. It's not what it seems. The UFO story, as usually told, in my opinion, is not what it seems.
So why did you use money as it was a great idea and a great job at being a metaphor for all this? Because we all believe in money, and it's been going on for what, a couple thousand years now, the way money is handled, the way we need it to live, apparently.
Right. And I tried to use that. I'll just give you an example. Today I was on Reddit. Somebody was arguing with me in Reddit that money is not work. Money is simply an IOU. And I said, well, what's under the IOU? They said nothing. It's just accounting. So we're getting to a point where we have no idea what money is. We can't even collectively, as a society, define the thing that we most need. Reasonable people can't sit down today and say, okay, money is X, Y, and Z. They can't do it.
Is that what you call the new one world myth?
Yeah. In the film, I try and go into... Campbell talks about that. There's a lot of Joseph Campbell in this film. So if you like Joseph Campbell, I think you'll definitely like this film. Campbell talks about how the world now really is almost a single community, but we don't have a myth that for a global community. So there's a lot of different myths going on. So, but there do seem to be some stories that are emerging, especially the AI singularity story. That story is becoming very powerful, very powerful. And the whole simulation theory is becoming very powerful. And, you know, as we move along in this exponential change, it does seem like there's a few myths that could capture the imagination of the world. But the one myth that does capture it is the power of money.
Do you think that we're too divided now for it to be captured? Like, do you think there? Because to me, I can't stop keep coming back to this: the machinations of the people that are trying to push this, basically the New World Order. I mean, they've been talking about it for decades. I read a quote from Brzezinski the other day that was like, you know, people will no longer believe reality; they will only believe what they see on the TV, basically. And that's from the 70s. So they've been brainwashing us for so long. But I think it's kind of backfiring in a lot of ways. Like, I think it's too late to get us into one world myth. I mean, it's got to be scientism and science, and AI singularity could fit right along with that. But I feel like too many of us are already just ready to break away from that.
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Yeah, just getting on your point about the myth, no? If you imagine the world in 1,000 years, I mean, imagine the world in a thousand years. I mean, our country is going to exist. So I'm in Tunisia. Will Tunisia just be like a county of the world? You know, it's hard to imagine a world in 1,000 years or 2,000 years where you're going to have countries, ethnicities, languages. So it almost seems like it's inevitable. This thing is coming. You know, how we push it one way or another, can we push it in one a little bit towards one direction or the other direction? Yeah, but the one in Uns about, are you a clock or an orange? I mean, I think the three of us are probably, you know, oranges, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, you know, if that force, that one world AI, you know, whether it's coming or not, I mean, not everybody's going to participate in that. I think there's going to be tribes that hold out for as long as possible until they inevitably be forced to become part of it or completely shunned from it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it won't be easy, but that's where it's going. And, you know, we can fight it, and we should fight it, because I think it's our obligation to do what we think is right and do what we think is right now. But to fight the tidal wave of that, I just think it's inevitable. The way things are connecting, the way these networks are connecting, it's more and more and more and more connection. I think it's going to be very difficult to hang on. I really do.
Where do you think it ends up?
Well, I was talking to a guy the other day, worked for Accenture, you know, one of the major consulting firms in the world. And I have a lot of students, business students, who I'm trying to push to go get their master's degree in AI or something like this. And I asked him, how far along is it? He says, that's all we talk about. That's all our client. Remember, their clients are the biggest companies in the world. That's all we talk about. That's all they call us, and they say, look, we want this. It's all AI. I think we're much farther along than most of us can imagine. I mean, think about this today. I said this the other day when I was talking to Freeman. You know, this there was an article 3 years ago that showed AI can detect if you're gay or you're straight with three pictures. No, five pictures to 90% accuracy. That's 3 years ago, man. 3 years ago now, it's like 20 years. So what can they do today?
Yeah, yeah.
With people on social media all day. Think, you know, the information they have and what these, the deep learning, when they start playing around these variables, they can find stuff out about you. So I think it's much farther along than most people think. I think the guys at the top are chuckling when they think that, huh, they're going to beat this machine. I doubt it.
Is that why you're in Africa?
You got me. I don't have a smartphone. I have one of those old grandpa Nokia phones, and I just refuse to have one of these phones and walk around like a zombie. And do you know how difficult it is to live without a phone in Africa?
It almost seems like an impossibility here.
Think about this. Could you imagine telling us in 1980, you would not be able to really, you can't go in an airport, you can't get on a plane, you can't do anything without walking around with a computer, which at that time would have cost a couple $100,000. An iPhone in 1980, all this, to have all of this power in your hand, God knows, a couple hundred, maybe $1 million. You would have said, no, what are you talking about? And people talk about being chipped. Are you fucking kidding me? You walk around with this phone all day and people are going to bitch about chips? This thing knows more about you than any chip could ever dream of knowing. So, you know, if you want to stop, you know, throw the fucking phone out, walk around with an old Nokia for a month, and then tell me if you really want to fight the machine. Because I do it, and it's not easy. You know? I'm ranting, sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's been a big thing for Darren these days. We've been, no, it's a rant that we've been doing on here. So it fits right in. I mean, Darren's been trying, we've been talking about it, how to get off these things and how to at least start easing your way off of some of the mainstream media, social media stuff. And Darren's talked about it. The phone is the distraction and our attention is the currency.
I'm looking at that no agenda phone, that graphene operating system, which is kind of like a hybrid between what you're doing and the smartphone, where it's, you know, you can install some of the apps on it and you can try and do some stuff. And if any of the apps you install are going to do anything, it sort of pops up and it's like, hey, this thing is trying to do this, and this. Are you sure you want it on your phone?
Oh shit. That's pretty cool, man. What's the name of it?
Check out noagendaphones.com. I think what they're doing is these guys are taking like old Pixel Google phones. They're buying them up on bulk, completely wiping them and then installing their own open source operating system on them.
But you know, this last summer I was on Twitter every day.
Sorry to hear that.
And I was on it like for a month and it made me insane. And when I just said, all right, I'm taking a couple months off on Twitter. Oh my God. I went back the other day because with the film, you know, you have to interact a little bit with it. And that thing just sucks. That thing is just, talk about demons, dude. Talk about fucking demons. Am I allowed to say crude things here or shouldn't I?
Oh yeah, dude. For sure, man. Yeah. Let her out.
I can.
This is like a good therapy session.
Ah, so it's like talk about getting fucked up the ass by a fucking demon. Twitter is like having, you know, it's like going to jail and being like a skinny little, you know, teenager. That's what Twitter is. No, I'm serious. That thing will fuck your mind.
But it's designed to do that. Like how much of that is organic that just it's because this is what happens to people on social media and how much of that is designed? I mean, they're completely manipulating it and the algorithms and the AI I'm sure is in full force. So is that just, that's just a trap for people, right? I mean,
I think, honestly, you give them a little bit too much credit. Here's what, because I used to work in media, you know? I worked in digital media. I think what happened is somebody came up with this idea, and they say, well, let's try this shit. And then they're like, holy fuck, look what we can do. And then they got a lot of smart people started tweaking it, and they're like, shit. You see what I mean? I think it's, I'm not sure that there's such an evil plan as technology advances, and then people begin to play around with it, and you come data now. Because what a lot of people don't realize is, why did we get artificial intelligence now and not 20 years ago? It wasn't the computing power, it was the data. When you have enough data, it begins to work. If you don't have enough data, it doesn't work. And all of a sudden, we reach that point where there was enough data. And there's enough data out there. And I mean, it's immense. And you get people start.
Oh, you're starting to break up a bit. Oh, he might have been dropped completely.
I don't see him there.
Yeah.
He said he'd call back, though.
Yeah, right.
Oh, he's there still is. There. I put him in,
put in the waiting
room. Did I report him?
Oh, he's gone now.
Is he?
Yeah. That was weird. He left right out from under our nose.
He's had enough of your crap.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was as like almost as anti-phone as you in a way, or anti, you know, that's awesome.
Well, I have a love-hate relationship with my phone because I'm highly addicted to it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I also hate it.
I know.
So it's this weird thing.
It's hard. It's your computer. It's your work. It's your, you know, it's how you communicate at work. It's how you listen to, how you learn. Everything's on there.
But if I didn't work, I think I could get it so where my phone was just part of my home, where it's my home phone.
Yeah. And then maybe.
And then I take it with me in a Faraday bag in my truck.
Right.
For emergencies. And
then
stuff.
What about like podcast, audiobooks, voice dream, all that stuff that I do? Like I need to research all this stuff. So I do it with my phone. So then it would be more of an iPod, get an iPod thing, download it, have it in there, and that's it.
Yep. Yeah, because you don't even want to have it on the cord on your phone in the Faraday bag, because then what's going to happen?
Whoa, say it again.
Because you don't even, because you could just put the phone in the Faraday bag and run the cord in there.
We're talking about the bags from Spiro. They work well. Spiro Faraday bags for your phone.
Yeah, so.
So what were you saying? So you can't have it in there?
Originally I was going to do that, which would work. But now whenever you pull out to pause or to do or to that. I got to switch the book. I got to pause it.
Most of the time you can just do it.
Now your phone's out.
Okay.
So now you're going to see your email and your Twitter and your text and your, I just think it's really better to just have that thing at home as much as possible. If I could just have the ultimate, I'd have a special phone that's just in my truck. That's like maybe that Graphene No Agenda phone. That if I break down or I get a flat tire or people can maybe get a hold of me if there's an emergency, and it's just that. It's my truck phone. You can't text it. You can't really do anything, but you can phone me because I have kids, so you can phone me if there's an emergency. And then the other one, if I have it so that I can do work like podcast stuff and Grammarica stuff, then it would just be at my house.
Yeah, it's interesting. What did we do before?
My computer stuff is part of my tools to do my stuff.
What did we do before?
We did it like when we got home. Voicemails.
You check your voicemail.
Yeah. Wrote letters.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Hey, you're back. Yeah, we can now. Yeah,
I can hear you. Yeah.
All right, we got cut off like right when you were saying something about what was it about data maybe or about. Trying to remember.
The data. Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing about why all that stuff is free that people don't realize. There's a reason that it's not the advertising. I mean, they're not making a killing on advertising. Facebook and YouTube and all that shit and Netflix is free so they can mine your fucking data and predict what you're going to do or what you're thinking and then to another extent manipulate it.
But in the new era of censorship, I mean, really, this is a new era. Now they're controlling the message, or at least trying to. So now it's gone beyond AI. And data, but I think, into complete control. I mean,
but
they're
that could be even more high level fucking data.
Yeah. Maybe.
How will these little humans react if we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because look how we're reacting. We're reacting by making sub-communities and mastodons and podcasts and self-hosting. So it's like you could almost see it as this probing into how they're going to deal, how it's – if you start looking at the AI as this just being this entity that's –
overlord.
That's or not even that. Just look at it as an enemy that's building up against you. You could see how
it's
it would do
little
things.
Watching you scramble into the corner and create your own little
okay, so they're going to do that. Okay, well, we got to be prepared for that. Because you could almost start looking at the internet as being like the – this sort of weird, well, no, it's more like a simulation of what we're going to do when they send the robots to start shooting us. Robert, hang up again. He's had enough.
Yeah, I'm here.
We got to start asking you questions instead of just chit-chatting ourselves. Sorry about that.
No, it was good. It was interesting.
I mean, what where do you want to go from here? The Clockwork Orange blog? I mean, I feel like we kind of touched on it a little bit, but it was really interesting how you made the analogy of the book that Darren was going to listen to recently, The Clockwork Orange, and how he named that book, and how you kind of compare what Darren was just talking about would be the clocks and where the oranges.
Right, because what they're trying to do, the title of the book comes to about trying to turn an orange into a clock. So you remember in the film, he's just this wild man and they try and turn him into a machine. And that's what they're trying to do to us. They're trying to turn us into these machines. And there's one problem. Machines are not conscious. They're not. And you'll never make a machine conscious. The only thing, our bodies are machines. I don't think anyone would deny that. Our bodies are just a very, very complex, wet machine. But our awareness is not. And that's the key question I ask in the film. The key question you have to ask, are you in your body or is your body in you? And that's fundamental. If you think that, you know, that all you are is just a hunk of biology, then you just are a computer. But if it's something else, if underlying all of this, there's something truly primary that we can know. And remember, we know the world through our awareness. That's it. That's it. So if you look at it that way, they're going down the wrong path.
Hopefully enough of us, because I mean, we are in some ways kind of switching into that more automatic computer like state. I mean, it almost seems like you can almost see in the way like the kids kind of talk these days, they're almost starting turning more and more and more digital.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got to have something to bite into. I mean, there has to be a profound myth that gives meaning to life. And I'm sorry, but you're not going to get that in social justice. It's not enough. It's almost like that zombie meme. The more you consume, you're never full. No matter what the story is out there that they're selling you, that we change the world, we have to free people for this and for that. It's not enough. The true meaning has to come from inside you, who you are exactly. Find that. And that's where I bring in that at the end of the film, where I bring in that famous phrase from Campbell about bliss. And that was an important part. That's an important part of the film. When I really understood what he meant, it kind of clicked for me. I was like, ah, now I get it. And what he's saying is something really, really deep. It's not just go be happy. It's something much more profound.
Can you get into it?
Yeah, sure. When I watched that Campbell Moyers interview in the 80s, he said something that just boggled my mind. He said, think the infinite consciousness, there's a condescension of it to the mind of man. And that's what we see as God. That's not what God is. And then he goes on to say later on, if you want to be happy, what you have to do is just be in life, be absolutely in it, completely stuck in it, like alive, and then you'll find bliss. And a lot of people in the 80s thought, oh, that's a cliche. It's just some sort of meme.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's not.
But it's what they're all saying. It's what Eckhart and Deepak and everybody's saying about the moment, being in the moment. If you're in life, you're in the moment. If you're in the flow, you're not worried about the future, the past. You're just your awareness, which you said just now, you know your world through awareness. It's your awareness is right now, this moment.
And this is very ancient learning. And they're all saying the same thing because it works. When you get in the moment and you're just being, and you're one, your awareness and your being become one, then you find, you know, it's like when you're doing something creative, or like you were saying, when you're hanging out with your family and everything, you're just hanging out, having fun, and it's just good. I mean, you're in it. That's who we are. And when you understand that it's not these stories and it's not the body and it's not the material things, there's no happiness out there. It's not, it's in you. And that's fundamental. And I think when the more we focus on that, because they don't want us focused on that. They want us focused on out there because that's what they believe in. They believe in money and toys and phones and cars. That's what they believe in. For them, that's reality. But is it really? Is that really what it's all about? I mean, people have to think about this. And a lot of people said, oh, well, your film's too philosophical. Well, fuck off. You know what I mean? You don't like my film? Go watch the fucking bullshit on Netflix. No, I'm serious. I'm sick of that. Too philosophical. I don't give a flying fuck. This is what I'm interested in. And if you don't have a brain and you want to watch nonsense, there's plenty of nonsense out there. But if you really want to focus on who you are, and you got to ask difficult questions. And that's why I made this film.
Yeah, I love it. That's good. Make no apologies for that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and these are difficult questions, but you have to ask them, because if not, they're going to suck you in. They're going to suck you in. Go to college and study some bullshit major and then go out and, you know, serve coffee for 20 years and ride around in your Uber and I don't know, find your sexual identity. Who fucking cares what your sexual identity is? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not going to make you happy. You're fucking girls, boys, sheep. It doesn't make it. It's not the end of, you know, when you figure it out, great. Do what you want. Great. But that's not where it's at.
Is that the same idea as people finding out? I mean, that's sort of the same lesson. People that are hyper successful. I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them seem to learn that lesson when they walk into that big 10 bedroom house, that they're still the same person with the same problems and the same shortcomings and the same shames and all of that stuff.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of the arc of life. I mean, I think kids, young people should go out there and live. I mean, that's part of being young, right? But there reaches a point where you understand, you go out. It's a little bit like the prodigal son. Remember the story of the prodigal son? He goes off and he goes running around chasing whores and having a great time. And he runs out of money. He's done everything he can. And then he realizes, you know what? It's time to come home. And when you come back, it's that return journey to yourself, the second half of life, that I think as a culture we're missing. I think we do a great job on the first half, but I think we're completely missing the second half. I mean, I can't watch. Have you guys seen anything that really feeds your soul on TV, on Netflix and films?
No, it's getting worse. No, it's getting worse and worse. I tried to watch a movie the other night and it was just, I can't even stomach it now. Everything's backwards. You know, the heroes are the villains and everything's just seems to be brainwashing. I mean, the only thing I did like recently, cause it was kind of based on historic stuff, was Vikings, but then they stopped that. So. But, you know, that even then it was just, you know, overblown on violence and stuff too sometimes. But but that reminds me of what Darren was saying recently about about initiation and the male.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Male,
I was going to actually ask that. If you think that second half of life missing is because we don't have that initiation. You know, I mean, I'm not sure what I'm a man, so I don't know the female experience, but in the male experience, I feel like there's this there was this, I don't know, different cultures did it different ways, whether it was you go sit in the bush for 3 days by yourself, or you finally got to go on the hunt, or whatever that looked like to the different cultures. But I feel like we're missing that as a culture today, this sort of death of youth and transition into manhood.
Think about this it's a very powerful message that our culture doesn't want to accept. Nature herself initiates women. Because remember, girls now, they start their periods when they're like 12 or 13 because of our diets. Our diets are all very, very, you know, powerful diets. But if you go back 15,000 years, 10,000 years, no, women began their periods when they were, 17, 18. So nature initiates women. Nature takes a girl and she says, now you're a woman. But men, no. Men need to be initiated by men. By men. Now, I have a friend who hates this. How can you say that? I said, imagine if 60, 70% of girls were raised by their fathers. What do you think would happen to those girls? There was no mother around. Do you think girls would be a little fucked up? So boys, not only we've lost all sense of initiation, we don't even have men around. And so there's an enormous problem with initiating boys into manhood. And I see it. I see it. And when you teach these kids, they're like 22-year-old, you know, 8-year-olds. The girls know. The girls, you know, talk to teachers and you say, you know, the smartest ones, the ones who are on the ball, it's the girls, not the boys. The boys are fucked up. And what you talked about in later life, what we don't have is a time when you sort of leave the world a little bit and take a different path. And when you reach about 50, what are you going to do? You going to divorce your old fat wife and find some young hottie and do it all over again? You know, that's not the path I think that nature wants for us. It's you know, there's a time, there's youth, adult, and then there's a time where we have to kind of flip the switch a little bit. And I think our culture totally is missing on that. Totally missing on it. But I agree with you. We need not only initiation of boys to men, but also of adults to sort of, you know, that third stage of life.
Yeah, I like that. So do you have any other, like anything we should touch on before we let you go? Any other points that you want to make?
No, that's good. The only thing I would say is, I would love some help with the listeners. If you watch the film and you like it, I don't ask for money. I have a day job. You know, I pay the rent. But if folks could just post it places, it's a film that needs to be seen because I really think that there's something in there that's true. You know, when you make something and it's like it gets made a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
So all I'd ask is folks, check out the film Twilight of the Archons. If you like it, unless if you don't like it, you know, you turn it off. But if you like it, well, make a couple posts on whatever, Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, whatever nonsense you use. And because I think it's an important message, and I hope it gets out there because I really put my heart and soul into it.
Yeah, it's a great film, too. I love it. And then where should people watch it, though, besides should they go to YouTube or is there a better place to go?
Yeah, right now, it's because of copyright reasons, it's got to be on YouTube. I can't get it anyplace else. It just gets knocked off.
Oh, I thought it was on another site there.
Oh, wait, there it could. Hopefully somebody loaded it up onto a couple of other ones like BitChute and DTube and all those places, hopefully.
Okay, I'll link to it in the show notes anyways.
If not, after someone listens to this, I'm sure they'll do it for us. If you're listening, can you take care of that, buddy?
And hopefully I'll get it on a torrent out there. So for folks who like to download torrents and stuff.
Right on.
Well, I'm really glad we stuck with this, even though we had some audio problems at the beginning. Like, I'm really glad we stuck with it, and because it got better as we went. So really, really appreciate you sticking with it.
Staying up late.
I thought we were done. I thought, oh, shit, this isn't going to work, but it worked. And hopefully the sound quality is okay for recording. It'll be all right.
That is. It's really good from your end now.
When the audience listens to this, they'll have no idea that we had any troubles.
That's good. Right on, Darren.
Excellent. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I'm sorry I went on some wild rants, but I usually don't drink Coke But to stay up, I drank a bunch of Cokes and I got a little hyper. So.
Oh, that's okay, man. That's great. Yeah, that's what we want to do. Have a place where we can rant and vent and stuff, and we don't have to worry about it. We're pointing to our own servers, and we don't have to worry about any censorship. So.
Excellent. That was a lot of fun, man. I really enjoyed it.
Right on, buddy. Well, thanks. Keep in touch, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, guys. Take care. Good night.
Okay. Take care, buddy.
Yeah, Robert.
And that was our chat with Robert Bonomo. What'd you think, Darren?
Pretty good. I wasn't so sure it was going to happen.
I thought it wasn't going to.
Yeah. Didn't seem like it was going to happen for a while.
Yeah. Good job on editing it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There was so many delays at the beginning. I thought we can't do this. We're not going to make it through. But something happened and we made it through. We stuck with it.
I was up till midnight last night hacking and slashing from 9:30. I was like, it was about 9:45 actually. I was like, I could finish this by like 10:30. Because I didn't edit the episode yet, obviously, because we're recording the outro right now.
Yeah.
I was just like literally just cleaning up the talkovers caused from the delays.
Yeah.
And shortening all the delays.
I think you got disconnected a couple times. So we were just chit-chatting. Did you leave our chit-chatting in there?
I left the chit-chat in. Oh, I just cleaned it up and shortened it up. Oh, some parts had to go. Some parts could stay. And then in the second half, when the what's it called went away, we had the problem of whatever you were saying or I was saying was also going through Robert's sound.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. That's interesting. Well, in the second half, he sure ramped it up, man. I don't know. He got pretty intense in the second half. It was great. We started talking
too many
about
Cokes.
The backwards language and diversity and that the die religion. And we went on a couple mask rants and talked about QAnon and.
He was ranting like a motherfucker.
Dennis McKenna and the gain of function research and trying to really like disengaging from irrational beliefs, like living life and getting light, you know, getting light and listening to that voice you get. And it's kind of cool. He's kind of thinking
you.
Like it's
I noticed
it's
that during the edit. It's about challenging us. You quite a bit.
Yeah. Your identity is your basic awareness, right? Because I was like, well, people
That's
get these
Blaze
dynamic attacks
too, right?
And stuff, right? But yeah, it's all about.
Blaze
you know,
Kennedy was very similar.
Yeah. So
take it back to your self-awareness.
Yeah. And that's your identity. So it was pretty cool.
But your self-awareness can still be stuck in traffic. My self-awareness is tired from staying up till midnight editing last night. It'll be another late night tonight.
Yeah. So yeah, please.
I was aware of it today
when
I was grumpy this morning. I was like, just because you didn't get enough sleep, buddy. It's okay. You could be grumpy today.
Yeah.
I'll sleep good tonight till 1 a.m. when my pig gets here. Then I'll have to get up and deal with that.
Nice.
It'll be worth it though.
Yep.
When I'm eating that first at the barbecue, at our protest barbecue.
Right. When's that? This weekend?
No, it's the 13th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, no need to get into that here.
Nope.
Anything else?
No, that's it. But how do people get to the second half?
If they want to get to the second half, head over to grimeamericaoutlawed.ca. Hit that button to sign up for Plus.
Oh, there's a bunch of articles in there, too. We've got a bunch of articles, and I've got some doozies being read right now. Holy.
Yeah, I think this is, like, episode 15 for Plus. And, like, so there's, like, an extra 4 Plus episodes or something with all the article reads in there and stuff. So, yeah, fantastic. Check all that stuff out. Sign up for Plus. If you want to get all those extra halves of all those interviews. We got some fantastic chats coming up. Definitely going to want to get that Plus subscription. We got David Icke coming up. It looks like we'll have Gareth Icke maybe the next day. And a bunch of other fantastic people. We got Andy Wakefield coming up. It looks like a bunch of fantastic people come up. Head over to grimeamericaoutlawed.ca today. Sign up for Plus so you don't miss any of those fantastic chats. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
I sat on the wall. I could see it all. Trickery was afoot, and evil was at its root. The people were scatterplots, not many could connect the dots. Some people stood tall. cried of their righteous voices made small. Put down your phone, your soul's turned to stone.
The rhythm of the algorithm has driven a schism, created this prison.
I'm shocked and appalled at the technocracy's gone. Pulling strings of marionettes, setting traps in cybernets. Infinite scroll as addictive as cigarettes. Cat videos for freedom of the press. People that stand tall in spite of our righteous voices made small. Put down your phone, your soul's turned to stone.
The rhythm of the algorithm has driven a schism, created this prison.
Double click uninstall. Rome's about to fall. This hard drive is corrupted, and our minds have been abducted by a silicon dream so seductive. When yelling at bots becomes unproductive, people, we need to stand tall. In spite of our righteous voices made small, put down your phone, your soul's turned to stone.
The rhythm of the algorithm has driven a schism, created this prison. This prison.